new series is living in faith, living in love and faith. But tonight, we're going to look at different aspects as we go through this series. And some of those aspects are faith, love, compassion, and courage. But tonight, we're going to focus with overcoming fear, because I think this is a topic that has stood its course of time, that we noticed even in the biblical accounts and the narrative that these young individuals and these men of young and old had moments of fear. But God was always greater than this fear and how he worked in their lives. And so as we focus on this tonight, we're going to be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And that's where we're going to read from, and that's where we're going to be. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then I'll read some scripture. All right, Father, Lord, just thank you so much for this message. Thank you for that your goodness stands the test of time, Father, that you're always there for us, and that we need to tune into you and to make sure we stay in communion with you, Father, that we put our faith and trust that your will be done in our lives, that this grip of fear that covers the nation and everyone that's involved is not from you, Father. And we thank you for that reminder in the scripture that we're going to be reading today. Father, but as we go on, Father, just touch our hearts. Holy Spirit, move, guide us, educate us, teach us, Father, and just help us surrender those fears that we have to you, and that your glory is so much greater. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's where we're going to camp out, and that's where we're going to stay, because it's so important to take this scripture and to truly understand it, correct? And this is going to help us with all the avenues and the facets of our life that we struggle with fear, because we know that fear in itself is a powerful and universal emotion. Fear, it can paralyze us. Fear can hinder our progress, and fear can prevent us from fully experiencing the life, this abundant life that God has intended for us. There's moments to where you see where people have this fear-based mentality, and they're so held captive by it that they are not even living a life that they're called to live. But here's the question, as we look around and we look at us as a ministry, we have to ask ourselves, how does this apply to us? So what does fear paralyze in your life, and how does it prevent you from walking this walk as a Christian? And so as I'm preparing for the sermon, I went online and I searched up what are the common fears of Christians. And so it came back with a list, and I'm like, wow, we fear sharing our faith. We fear sharing faith with our family. We fear sharing our testimonies. We fear acknowledging that we are Christians. We have a fear of the standing morals that we have that compare to others, and we fear admitting that you believe in the Bible, that we have a hard time saying, yes, I believe in Jonah. I believe what the Bible said about the flood. I believe about the virgin birth. But we also have the fear of teaching the Bible. We have the fear of ministering to the homeless, to prisoners, and less fortunate. We have a fear of going into ministry itself. We have a fear of meeting new people. We have a fear of a specific ministry, like a women's ministry, men's ministry, children's ministry. And we have a fear of suffering and enduring hardships because of your faith. So if we're called this great commandment to love God and love others, and then we're this great commission is to go and share the gospel, the good news. But yet, research shows, the poll is that Christians are crippled by fear of doing all those things. And, you know, and we think about the fear of sharing your faith, but the second one below that was the fear of sharing your faith with your family. You would think that should be a safe place. However, I got a message from a person that is a foreigner. And she's like, look, I'm in a relationship that my family does not agree with. And then if this relationship doesn't work, which he's threatened to leave me, then I have to go back home. And home is a Muslim nation, and she's a Christian here. And chances are that families are not so tight-knit like here that she goes home just to be murdered, persecuted, because she believes in Jesus Christ. So that fear there is very real, and I can see where that fear of sharing your faith with your family could be hard. But we are blessed because we should have an open conversation within our family about our faith because we don't have to fear persecution. Now, I can understand where that fear would step in because of maybe your family is a different denomination or they have a different belief system. I can see that, but I wanted to take this one step farther, and let's step outside the Christian label, and let's go to just the general global population. An estimated 4% of the global population currently experiences anxiety disorder. In 2019, 301 million people in the world have been labeled with an anxiety disorder, making it the most common mental health disorder there is. So I wanted to dig a little deeper. So what is contributing to this extreme diagnosis of anxiety? And I'm going to start with the lowest one and work my way up to the most. Number 10 is the U.S. getting involved in another war. Number 9 is high medical bills. Number 8 is chronic diseases. Number 7 is corrupt government officials. Number 6 is losing physical mobility. 5 is mass shootings or gun violence. 4 is not having enough money for retirement. 3 is personally becoming seriously ill. 2 is loved ones becoming seriously ill. And then 1 is loved ones dying. Four in 10 Americans report that their anxiety has worsened over this past year. As a nation, our greatest fear and concern is more than two-thirds of adults feared that their loved ones are going to become sick or die. 46% of Americans fear the U.S. entering another war, making this scenario one of the top 10 most concerning. And then 55% of Americans are afraid they won't have enough money. And then 54% are afraid of the gun violence and mass shootings. So we see that we're living in a world that's plagued by fear that turns into these anxieties. And most of the time, if you look at this list, it's all of what? The unknowns, right? We tend to, as humans, we want to control the path and the destinies of what happens in our life, that we take this burden and place it upon our shoulders. But if we look back at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound of mind." So I look at this scripture and I take this information because I ain't going to lie to you all. We struggle with anxiety. There's some pressures that are overloaded on us. And I ask my son, "Do you feel anxious?" And he's like, what's that word really mean? And I'm like, thank you, God. You know, like, but we have moments of feeling nervous. That's natural. Like, I got nervous before I stepped up here tonight. But that's not hindering my quality of life. It's because I love what I do and I want to do the best at what I do and I depend on the Lord to provide this. But I still take a little bit of nervousness to do it. But I'm not a nervous wreck or I'm not an anxious mess doing this or I wouldn't be able to do it. So when we look at these anxieties, and we look at what Scripture just told us, we can see that there's a big discrepancy, right? There's a huge discrepancy. But as I was digging deeper into this, we theologians, and I confirm with this in my own life, that Paul wrote 2 Timothy. But when we look at this book, 2 Timothy, we have to understand that Paul wrote this letter, epistle, to Timothy in a very dark and damp Roman prison. And this letter would be the last letter that Paul would ever write, because this is right before Paul's death in 67 AD. And so I wanted to share more about what happened. Is the Roman Emperor Nero, he was this ruler that was mad. He was evil. And you can look at him. He just wanted to destroy. But his ascent to the throne in 54 AD had a hiccup, because there was this great fire in Rome in 64 AD, and it burned half the city. So with the residents of Rome, it was an uproar. Nero was losing some traction in that reign that he always had, so Christians became a convenient target for Nero during this time, persecuting Christians. And he used these believers as scapegoats for his own city's lack of preparedness when it comes to the fire in his reign. And Paul was one of the ones that was caught up in this persecution, and he was beheaded by Roman officials soon after writing this letter. So this letter is, in essence, bittersweet, because we know who Paul was. He was a murderer. We know Jesus Christ met him on the road, and he blinded him and gave him direct revelation of who he is. And we know Paul's life completely changed, and we know Paul's life was nothing. It wasn't easy. He struggled, and I could see where he would have some of these fears, but he never did, because he knew who was the center of his life, and it was Christ, even to the point of his death. But when he's writing this letter, I want you all to position your hearts to see where he's at. And Timothy, he called him like a son, right? Timothy was with him on all these missions and these international missions. And Timothy was basically, he calls him son because he raised him up spiritually. He mentored him. He guided him. He taught him. And so that Paul knew his time was coming to an end, and he wrote this letter because he understood that Timothy's life was about to become a little bit more difficult. And he knew that with Timothy doing this, he always had Paul, even though they were separated. But when Paul knew he was about to die, that leaves Timothy completely to his own. And we know, and I looked at this in Hebrews 13:23, it tells us that shortly after this, Timothy was arrested. But in Hebrews, it tells us that he was going to be freed. And some people assume that Paul wrote Hebrews. And from my research and what I was looking, is that Paul couldn't have wrote Hebrews, because he says in Hebrews that I'm going to join you. Paul was dead. At this point, he would never be able to join Timothy again. So Paul knew that Timothy's task of keeping this church alive and to keep things within the bounds of the sound doctrine that Paul was completely driven by, while encouraging these believers to live their life, would often be a thankless and difficult task. It's not much different than today, right? But through hardships would come, Paul wanted Timothy to continue to apply the things that he learned, drawing on faith that's been passed down by his peers, faith that's been shown in Paul, but not also Paul, not just Paul, but his mother and his grandmother. See, before Paul came in, his mother and his grandmother were the pillars of faith, and then Paul swooped in at God's timing to kind of carry this young man under his wing. So when we think about this, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy knowing and wanting to give him some more guidance when he's not going to be in his presence. So when we look at God has not given us a spirit of fear, Paul saw that the nature of Timothy was a little timid. I think we all are a little timid until we keep walking. See, Jesus takes us out of our comfort zone and implies this by showing us and role modeling and then having us do, right? That helps us get outside of this timid nature. But God used Paul to tell Timothy that this fear wasn't from God. That this fear that he had is not from the God that he served. And he needed to know this, that God has not given us the spirit of fear. I love this, right? So we know that we all face situations of fear and that we are timid at times, and we understand this. So fear looks differently for each of us. Some, it's speaking in front of people. Standing here would be fearful for some. Some would be making mistakes in front of people or not having the right answers or being afraid of the dark or being afraid of confrontation. Or being rejected, the fear of being rejected. See, we all deal with fear, but the first step that we have to understand is in all these fears is they're not from God. So when we're in that position, we find ourselves there, we need to slow down. And we need to say, this isn't God making me feel this way. God has not given this to me. It might be a personality trait. It might be a weakness of the flesh. And it might even be a spiritual attacks. But it's not from God. And that's a reminder that we need to hold on to. But then it says, but of the power and love and of a sound mind, that the second step with dealing with such fears is understanding what God has given us. So we know what he has not given us. Now we know what he has given us. And he's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So when we do his work, when we proclaim his word, when we represent his kingdom, we have all his power supporting us. We are safe in his hands. And I love this because the opposite is from the enemy wanting to make us fearful. But God is saying, I'm here. He tells us that he's never going to leave us or forsake us, but yet our natural propensity is to lead as we have a distant God that is not going to hold us or walk with us. But we know he will. See, God has given us the spirit of love. We've talked a lot about love. But this love that he's given us was through full representation of who Jesus was and is. That love that he's given us should just overflow from the heart. Like we have the living water abundantly flowing through us. That way we can reach out and be the light for someone that has forgotten that God is there in their fear. That we can sit there and say, look, we're here. He's here. So we can love and serve others through this love. You know, we think about Jesus and we think about the cross, but we often have to remember the night before where Jesus is truly God and truly man, and he sits with his disciples and he surrenders as the servant role and he washes their feet. You think about these disciples and then Jesus warned them that this time is to come, and they know. Think about the fear that was probably, they've been walking 3 years with Jesus, and there's comfort in that, right? But they're going to be walking without Jesus soon. I can only imagine the fear that was overtaking them. But then he says, God has given us a sound mind. The Greek word here translated would be calm, self-controlled mind, in contrast to panic and confusion, which leads to fearful situation, which leads to anxieties, right? We have anxious thoughts, we have anxiety, then we have panic and crippling fear. But remember, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of the power of love. So we do not have to accept what God has not given us. I love this. I do not have to accept the spirit of fear. I can rebuke through Jesus Christ the spirit of fear and put all this understanding onto the Lord. But we do need to humbly receive the walk that he has given us. And within that walk is the spirit of the power of love and of a sound mind. So we think about this walk that we're walking. And Paul wrote this to Timothy because boldness does matter. To be bold and courageous, that matters. And without it, we can't fulfill God's purpose in our lives. If we're crippled to anxieties and fears, see, God's purpose for us is not just drawing in a paycheck, being entertained, or being comfortable. It's for each of us to utilize the gifts that he's given us to touch his people and to help this needy world. 310 million people are crippled by anxiety disorders. See, fear and that timid nature keeps us from using the gifts that God's given us. And God wants us to take these gifts, his power, his love, his calm thinking, and overcome fear to be used with the gifts that he's given us. 310 million people, some of those are Christians. Some of those are devout Christians that love Jesus. But today's sermon is a reminder that those fears and those anxieties are not from him. So to look at this, fear is a natural response to the unknown, to challenges, or to threats. But the danger lies in allowing fear to control or dictate your actions. If that's all you're consumed by, see, but fear can manifest in different ways in your life. We talked about the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, the fear about the future, medical fears. But we have to be reminded the power is not found in our own abilities. You alone, this anxiety, you're going to be crushed by it. But this power is found in the dwelling of who God is, Christ in us. That gives us that hope. Because through faith, we tap into this divine power that enables us to face these challenges head on. That you're not alone. That these feelings that you have is not an isolated island, that only you exist. But I love how God empowers us to live victoriously over these things. Because sometimes what the devil has sent to fear and crush you is what's the driving force for you to reach out and to love on people even more. And we see this with depression too. Some of the saddest people internally present as the happiest. But we cannot live with this mask on. But if we stay in a state of humility for who the Lord is, it changes things. You know, in 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Love is the antidote to fear. It dispels the darkness and brings forth the light that we're all called to be. God's perfect love, it's the one that casts out fear, which allows us to embrace this life with courage. You may be feeling the way you feel. You get up in the morning, you're an anxious mess, but you know that God's love is perfect. And through that love, there is that hope that you're going to embrace this day through no matter how you're feeling, that you know He's going to get you through it. Because this journey that we wake up and we're feeling like we're losing control and we're so fearful of what may come, God is growing us. He's growing us in love, both in relationship with God and others. But we have to remember that God also wants us to seek self-discipline, to evaluate our own hearts. We have to discipline our minds and our actions to help overcome fear and anxieties. You know, the strangest thing is to take a grown man that has a fear of puppies. What? It's real. So how do you do this? You expose the individual to puppies. And you see that the puppies are not so dangerous as your mind has convinced you they are. But there's some fears that are a reminder because God is saying, watch, son, don't reach your hand in the bushes because there's a snake on the other side. We have to listen to what the Holy Spirit is guiding us. We might not be like Paul and just be able to shake it off. So there are some things in life that fear is like a check engine light to get you to walk the other direction. So as we embark on this series, Living in Love and the Faith series, I'm excited because I'm excited about our commitment as a ministry to overcome fear by embracing the power of love, courage, self-discipline that God has graciously provided. I would want us to live a life that shows this courage and this understanding that we're so deeply loved by God, our Creator, that this love through Him is going to cast out all fear. That we're not a ministry that will not share our faith. We're not a ministry that's going to stand hidden in the corner when it says to share your testimony. We have to be a ministry of people that is sharing the gospel, the good news, because there may be a person in your life that you're the only person that can be that light to share this news. But we have to remember that God is love, that we are love through Him. Through His power, we find hope. And we want to give that hope to the person that's next to us, to the people that are struggling, to the people that don't understand, to the people that are paralyzed by fear. And I often tell individuals that maybe you're where you're at because there's something so much holier on the other side. But let's walk together. If you're paralyzed right now, I'll put you in a wheelchair and I'll push you. That's the ministry we need to be. So just like we've done the previous week, we're going to take a moment and we're going to encounter Jesus. So if you want to cue that up for me. What this is I just preach the Word of God. And I've been to church a lot throughout my life, and I've heard the Word of God, and I've asked God to help me live the Word. But oftentimes what I've found is we can come in and we can hear the Word of God, but we tend to forget to experience God. And if we want any true application of what was just preached on, what God just shown us, then we have to learn to apply this in our life and experience the Word and experience who Jesus is. So in the moments that we feel fearful and feel like we're struggling, to know that He's there. Because when we know He's there and we experience that, that instills hope. So I would like to ask you all to close your eyes for me. And I want you to take a moment to experience Jesus, but to listen to my voice. And I'm going to ask you all to put your hands down in your lap with your palms open, because this is a surrendering to the Lord, that you're inviting the Lord into your heart, inviting Jesus to come into your life right now. I want you to take a moment that you're walking into a calming garden. Imagine yourself in this beautiful garden, surrounded by these vibrant colors and these gentle fragrances. I want you to feel the warmth of the sunlight on your skin as you walk along this path. But as you continue through the garden, visualize this gentle figure approaching. It's Jesus. He's radiating His love and a compassion. And as you see Jesus, notice this calming feeling that He gives that surrounds Him. But Jesus says, sit with me. And you're sitting with Jesus in this beautiful garden, in this serene space, and you share with Him your fears. You're sharing with Him your worries and the burdens that are weighing you down. Give Him your anxieties. But speak from your heart. Express everything that is currently weighing on your mind. Imagine placing each fear or that heavy burden into Jesus' hand. Witness the compassionate understanding in His eyes as He accepts them from you. And feel this weight lifting off your soul as you're releasing your fears to Jesus. Allow Jesus to wrap you in His warm, comforting embrace. Feel His unconditional love surrounding you, dispelling all fear, replacing this with a sense of security and peace. And as you sit with Jesus, He reminds you of Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I'm with you. But not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Take a moment to sit with Jesus. Give Him your burdens. Give Him your fears. Give Him your anxieties. Notice how you're feeling. I'm going to pray as you're sitting with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being with me right now. Thank you for helping me overcome my fears, my anxieties. Jesus, I trust in your love. And I find peace in your presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the promise of your Spirit that empowers us to overcome fear as we navigate these life challenges. May your love be a grace that's guiding our lights and our steps. Help us grow in faith and love and self-discipline that we may live victoriously in your name. Father, thank you for being with me in those moments of fear. And forgive me where sometimes I put this anxiety and this fear and this worry above you, Jesus. Father, I just ask you to heal us, to heal me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You can open your eyes. Does that feel good? See, that takes it just one step farther, right? That we come here and we hear the word, but we get to experience Jesus. I thank you all so much. Once again, if you're ever struggling, we're here, right? Emily and I are here. But if you know any of your friends that are struggling, we're here. And we pray that you all can be that source of light, even if you don't have all the right answers. You do have the answer, and that's the good news. So take this time with your friends to be listening to what they're saying, and to take a conversation that you're having with your friends or loved ones or family members, and take, you're hearing their problems and you're hearing their struggles, but just say, can I be bold enough to share something with you? And you share with them the good news, the gospel. That look, God's design was perfect and it fell by man. That God had to send a son. His son died on the cross and he was buried and was rose again in 3 days, defeated death so that we could be made right with God for eternity. That's the gospel. We don't need to overcomplicate it. And then let me share with you what Jesus has done in my life. I was struggling here. I was struggling there. And then they're going to say, I want to accept Jesus. Once you have a person tell you that they surrender and you know that God's drawing their heart, it's the greatest thing ever. So we have to be a gospel-sharing ministry. Okay? Well, thank you all. I'm going to turn this off.